Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is at long last Friday. It's April 3rd, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Glad you're with me. Now, the first thing we want to talk about today real quick is just there's a new campaign out there. Apple has teamed up with Laureen Powell Jobs and Leonardo DiCaprio to help support America's Food Fund. And this is a thing that launched on GoFundMe, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. And there's two beneficiaries of the campaign, and it's World Central Kitchen, which you might know. Jose Andres does a lot of work with them. He started the organization to just go feed people where they need help. And also Feeding America, which is another one. And the aim is to make sure that as many people as possible have reliable access to food. And if you want to go donate to that, you can. Tim Cook had announced on Twitter that they were very proud to support it. And they're aiming for $15 million, and they're at $12 million and change right now. So if you want to help put them over the top, like I said, we will have a link to that in the show notes. Now, the thing that we came to talk about today, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. We want to talk a little bit about the iPad, whose life reaches double-digit years today. Thank you, Brian.
It
always warms my heart when you pick up what I'm putting down. So, John, you wrote an editorial about how the iPad has changed your life.
Yeah, I forget how this came to be. I think Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but Brian and I have been talking about the 10th anniversary of the iPad, either Steve Jobs' original announcement or the ship date in April of 2010. Mm-hmm. And we've been from time to time reminiscing about the evolution of the iPad, how it's affected us. And Brian, didn't you and I talk about 2 weeks ago about a discussion about how the iPad has changed our lives? And yeah, guy gave me an idea to write an article about that.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to take credit for it.
certainly, it probably was your idea. I wrote an article yesterday at the Mac Observer about how the iPad has changed my life. And then as I started composing my thoughts about the iPad, I started thinking about my career using computers, starting with an Apple II and then Macintoshes and then Unix workstations at Lockheed Martin and elsewhere. And I started thinking about, you know, when you had a traditional PC in the before times, you would go and sit down at a place and a thing and a location and log on and do your thing. And when you were done, you walked away and it was disappeared from your space and your mind and your thoughts. But with the iPad, it's always in your face. I've got an iPad on my nightstand. I've got an iPad on the kitchen table. I've got an iPad on the living room on the coffee table. And of course, the iPhone's hanging around there somewhere too. So what's happened is that the information that we seek is in our face all the time. It's only an instant away. Open the cover, tap, tap, you're there. And what the iPad has brought to me in my life is immediacy. Instant information. Don't have to sit down at a Unix workstation or a Macintosh and log on, launch a web browser, and go to the right URL and then find out what you want. And can't get up and go take it around with you and walk around with it. You have to sit in one place and be static. The iPad has this mobility, but it also has this immediacy effect. And I started thinking about how that might work out in the future in terms of the evolution of the iPad. Mm-hmm. The iPad is I compared it to a 1957 RCA color TV. I'm old enough to remember when color TVs were the thing. And NBC had the logo, you know, brought to you in living color. Ta-da.
Yeah.
And this was the thing. I mean, the display was part of our lives. We congregated around it in the living room, and we had a glorious color TV. But the thing about it was the display in our face. Now, the technology has changed. We moved from CRTs to LCDs to plasma to OLEDs. And there's this pervasive thing is about the thing of having this display in your face. The iPad is just the current limitation of technology like the old CRTs were. Eventually, like in Star Trek Picard and other science fiction shows, I believe we will have information floating in space in front of us through AR glasses at first and maybe something other we haven't dreamed up yet. And again, we have the pervasiveness of the information floating in front of us, always available, always immediate, and co-located with us as we move around. So the iPad is just not the end, it's not the end point, but it's just the beginning of this idea of immediate mobile information floating in space in front of us. Now, right now we have to use hardware and a piece of glass and an LCD display, but that's going to change over time. And I think that's how the iPad's going to evolve.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you, John, but when it comes to AR stuff and when it comes to projecting, you know, having our display essentially be a holographic display of some sort, the iPhone is going to be the center of that, not the iPad. If anything, the iPhone, the iPad could eventually be subsumed or consumed by those kinds of technologies.
Yeah, they're only separate now by virtue of the technical evolution and the technical limitations that we have. But yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to merge into one holographic interface in our face.
Yeah, once we don't need the glass, the concept that we call the iPhone will simply be the device that we carry around with us. And what will be fantastic, in my opinion, I know this is supposed to be like how the iPad has changed our lives, you know, today, but looking forward, what's going to be fantastic is when this device that we're carrying around with us that has all our data and our software on it can adapt to whatever kind of display needs we have at that time. Mm-hmm. So it can go to our glasses, it can project, it can perhaps go to either a larger projection on our desk or a very large piece of glass on our desk. And it essentially becomes the device that we need at that time. And that I think that we're that's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. We're still years and years and years and years and years and years out. But I do think that that's where we're headed. And I refer back to Phil Schiller talking a couple different times about how Apple believes that the iPhone has a 50-year history in front of it, or a 50-year lifespan in front of it.
Mm-hmm. 50 years.
Yeah, he has said 50 years, and the only way that makes sense is John, you're not. No, he's right. He's right. If
the iPhone in name only, but the technology will morph. That I'll buy off on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might not be. It might not be called the iPhone either. I mean, I don't even think the name's important. The important bit is simply that you know we carry our stuff with us, and. And that's our computing, and we're not like, you know, slaves to having individual machines. But looking at where we are today, the biggest thing, you don't mention this, John, but there's two things. Everything you described is about consuming information and not producing information, and that's interesting to me. Secondly, the biggest change for me is mobile gaming, and then having all my books with me, and like always having my book with me and never needing to worry about it, like never needing to keep track of it, never needing to worry about what page I'm on. that has been life-changing for me.
The reason I didn't mention content creation is because I'm still in a Mac frame of mind, and the editing facilities of iPad in the traditional iOS have been abysmal. I cannot stomach editing an article with the old-fashioned iOS method of the magnifying glass, and it just never seemed to work reliably or consistently, and it was a pain to hold my arm out and try to edit articles that way.
Have you considered asking the children congregating on the grass in front of your house if they can help you with this?
Well, what I've considered is that iPad OS may change my thinking about this. And I'm going to have to get an iPad Pro with a magic keyboard and trackpad and the new iPad OS editing facilities and try this out.
Yeah, that actually
start. That's might get me going.
Yeah,
that could be a game changer for a lot of people who are like you and me both. By the way, I'm pretty cranky about those youngsters. they're trampling my grass even now, but I much prefer editing on a Mac.
Yeah,
much prefer, just like you.
Oh sure, but there's a lot of, like, for me at least, there's a lot of stuff that I am able to do that I wasn't necessarily able to do before, and part of that is like reading, like you, Brian. The minute I was able to get ebooks of consequence, like that they were commonly available and they were things I wanted to read and be able to carry them around with me. That happened way before the iPad, but it's definitely a thing that I'm very excited about. Like, I can carry all these books around with me everywhere, and that's super cool. And I really never like
have to Kelly, I will read 4 or 5 minutes if I can, right?
Yeah, same.
And when I spend 3 of those 5 minutes trying to find where I was.
Yes.
It was, I mean, but that was what I did. That's what I did all the time, because yeah. I do, you know, I would carry a book with me because God forbid I have 5 minutes in which I'm not doing anything.
Yes.
And now I just always have my iPad with me and I open up the Books app and I'm right there on my page and I don't have to look for it. It's so such good. A tiny little thing, but it was profoundly changing for me.
It's massive, like for me as well. Same thing, the exact same thing. The other thing that I like about it is it's not necessarily that it, in a lot of situations for me anyway, it didn't necessarily cannibalize a laptop, but it freed me up from a laptop. So, for example, I have volunteered for charity events and things, and it's really nice to be able to accept payments on an iPad. I don't have to stand behind a computer or try and walk around with it while I type stuff into a web form or something. I can just take an iPad and walk around and be able to have, you know, something on the screen that I'm showing people or whatever. And then, you know, being able to take credit card information and process a payment right there on the iPad. Or I know people who are professional photographers who do loads and loads of work with iPads because they're able to show stuff off right away on a screen where you can actually see, you know, what the photo looks like or what the setup is going to look like, or put a contract in front of somebody and have them sign it, you know, right there on the spot. And those kinds of things that free you up from having to carry a laptop around with you are super, super cool. And I too have had suboptimal experiences with trying to edit text on an iPad, but I've also had really positive experiences because I host another podcast, and that other podcast is 100% edited on iOS. I record everything on my Mac and then I save it all in Dropbox, open it up on my iPad, do all the editing in Fairlight, and then post that back to get the show out the door. And if it were not, literally, if it were not for this editing app on iOS, that show probably couldn't happen because I would be trying to use Audacity and I would be a danger to myself and others. I've tried and failed many times. So for me, like, there's a fundamental piece of creation that happens on the iPad for me all the time. It's been going on for years. And I really appreciate that it frees me up, that the iPad frees me up from some of those other things. Like, we've talked about adding keyboards to them and stuff. But John, I think maybe the keyboard, but probably the pencil, if you can really integrate that into whatever your workflow is going to make a massive difference in the stuff that you're doing. I think it would help you a lot.
I have a first generation pencil and the battery's always dead on me. So I have I have a loop on my iPad Pro, which can hold a regular standard stylus. Mm-hmm. And that has turned out to be really convenient because whenever I reach for the stylus, it's always there. It always works. It's always available.
Mm-hmm. And if you do spring for a new one, it just charges by sticking to the side of the iPad, which is super great.
Yeah, on my next, I'm looking forward to that on my next iPad.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of the generational differences, I know Andrew has been long writing and editing articles for TMO on his iPad. So, yeah. I mean, there are definitely plenty of folks who find it quite usable now. But like I said, I'm with John. I much prefer writing and editing on my Mac.
Oh, me too. I think a lot of it's muscle memory. I'm just really tied to a physical keyboard.
Do you guys think there'll ever be a 21-inch iPad?
No.
24-inch iPad? Because as the facility for editing with a trackpad and a mouse and a cursor evolves and we can start editing on a big screen, maybe the gateway for a larger screen iPad was the iPad OS.
It's conceivable, John. I understand why Kelly's knee-jerk reaction was no, but I very much understand that, but there is such a use case to be made for doing especially video and image editing and music production too on a very large iPad. Yes. And I mean, like, you know, let's talk 30, you know, 30 inches, let's talk 40 inches, 30 inches at least. I mean, the sort of thing that could basically, you know, be your desktop in front of you. Your Surface Pro.
Surface Studio.
Yeah. Surface Studio, yeah. Well, and I think there's a huge use case to be made for doing that kind of stuff.
I think so too. It's a race between that and whether we'll switch to AR first. In the article, I think that AR will probably supplant large iPads because it's easier to generate big displays virtually rather than create them mechanically as a physical object. Mm-hmm. And it might make sense to go that route earlier, but maybe technology won't evolve fast enough and we might have an intermediate phase of 17 or 21 inch iPads. I don't know. It's hard to see.
Well, my knee-jerk reaction is for two reasons. Number one, I don't know if I don't think Apple is paving the way to a larger iPad screen by having the iPad Pro have external monitor support. But I do think that if it were that big of a screen, like I have a 24-inch monitor right now, and if that monitor were close enough that I were using it as in a touchscreen capacity, I wouldn't be able to see it. It would be way too close, and I would not enjoy that experience at all. I think it would be really awful. So at least for me, that's part of where it comes from is, like, I have a 24-inch monitor and it's fine. And I know that, John, you have some sort of like massive, I don't know, 62-inch curved display situation.
34-inch curved Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah. Get that curved 34. And so just like literally from where I'm sitting, that does not seem like an experience that would be useful. Maybe like if it were virtual and there were pieces of it that I could have, you know, just a piece at a time instead of all of it kind of up there on the screen at once, I don't think it would be fun to use. And just like I would have the same stance about the Surface Pro, the Surface Studio, I don't think that would be fun.
Now, the Surface Studio is for having it be flat in front of you, flat, yeah, and near flat, maybe tilted slightly. Yeah. And you're working with the stylus.
Yeah, and that's down the on the table, case. Like a drafting table, like where you're
like
drafting.
Like a drafting table, yeah. Yeah. That's the use case for a really large iPad. Having a 21-inch iPad that you know, intended to hold in your lap, that's it.
No.
Poppy guy.
So just to sort of take us back a little bit, since we were talking about the iPad on his birthday, the first thing that I remember is, I think, Brian, you mentioned earlier this week on the show that people thought there was no way iPad was going to be the name because it's a dumb name. And the first one, the one that we initially got, shipped without a camera. It didn't have a camera, mm-hmm, even on the back to take a picture of anything. And so those are the things that I think of when I think about like where we are now with all the stuff that you can do with it.
Giant thing as a camera. But I remember speaking in between the announcement and the shipping. Uh-huh. I was in Austin and I spoke at CapMac. And I said at that time that Apple has no idea what we're going to do with the iPad.
No.
And I believe that the reality bore out that argument that we figured out what we're going to do with the iPad. Mm-hmm. And the Apple didn't know. Steve didn't know. No one knew. The idea was to put this product out and then see what happened. It was kind of like
Steve knew what he wanted for the iPad.
He knew what he wanted, but he didn't know what he would do with it.
Yeah. He did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't know what we were going to do with it.
In no way. He had no idea what we were going to do with it.
He had no idea what we were going to do with it, but he knew why he wanted it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
I'll give you that. But so when, because you, were you there, Brian, at the iPad launch, at the iPad announcement?
I think so, but memory, okay. Time compression does funny things, yeah. And I've seen it and read and written about it, and I think I was there.
Well, I've never been to a press event, so
2010.
I know I wasn't, but I remember when I saw it, I remember being really excited about the potential. Like you were talking about, nobody knew what we were going to do with it, but I remember seeing it and thinking of my photographer friends and thinking of people who do like real estate and need to be able to show people images, you know, of a particular size and don't want to have to huff around a laptop in order to do it. And I remember really being excited about what people were going to be able to do with this. Once you've gotten this in the hands of all different kinds of people, everybody was going to try and find a way to apply it to their own situation and make it something that they could use that would be great in some particular way. So even though I really wanted one, even though I didn't see a place for it in my life at that point, I was really excited to see where it was going to go. So when I first saw it, I was very, very excited. How about you, Brian?
It actually took seeing it. A friend of mine named Chris Diskin, had one. He was the first person I had physical proximity to that had one. Mm-hmm. And my lust was activated when he flipped from the first page on his home screen to the second page. Now, we could already do that with the iPhone,
yeah.
But it was a different experience on the iPad.
Yes.
And that's when I went from being professionally curious and, you know, like, I want to get this for my job to, oh, my God, I've got to have one of these.
Yeah. John, how about you?
When I first saw it, it felt like the future. I remember Star Trek Next Generation, Geordi LaForge walking around with his tablets.
Yep.
And when I first saw Steve demo the iPad, I thought, this is the future. I think what happens is that when young people see things that captures their imagination, they carry it with them in their technical life, and they end up being, some of them, engineers. Mm-hmm. And they say, I want to create the things that inspired me when I was young. And so that's why a lot of science fiction has come to fruition, is because people see things, they adore it, they see it as the future, and then they go out and they create it and they make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happening now with these displays floating in space. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to get there.
I think so. And that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank you both for being here. John, thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
And Brian, thanks as always. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Thanks for having us, Kelly.
Have a wonderful weekend. I will talk to all of you again on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and stay safe out there.